Good to see you all this morning. Welcome to 1277. Jane, thank you, Gene. I do have a great marriage. It's because I have a great wife who trained me well. Hey, if you want a title for this talk this morning, let's call it this: Keep the Fire Burning. Keep the Fire Burning. I think for a husband, maybe two of the most frightening words that you can ever hear come out of your wife's mouth are, "You never." Anybody ever heard your wife say that to you? You never. Oh, man, it just sends chills down your spine, doesn't it? You never. Well, Bill and Sue were wildly in love, and they spent every possible minute together while they were dating, and they spent every possible minute together in their first few years of marriage. They were young, they were relaxed, they were happy, they were really enjoying life. Then their careers began to take off, and the pace picked up. And as the pace picked up, things began to change for them. They started a family, and for them that was amazing, but that changed everything in their relationship. Expenses increased, they worked harder to keep up. Their children took lots and lots of time. It meant there was less time for sleep. There was less time for one another. There was less time for all kinds of things. And like many of us who seem to run at the speed of light in our lives, they woke up one day and said, I don't really feel that close to my spouse. We have kind of drifted away. As a matter of fact, one morning, Sue looked at Bill over the breakfast table and looked at him staring into his phone, not even looking up at her, not even recognizing that she was there. And she said to him, "I've had it. That's it, Bill. You never even look at me. You never even talk to me anymore." Later on, Bill said, "When I heard those words, I dropped my phone at the table and I looked in the tear-filled eyes of my wife and I realized that I had failed her and I had let the flame go out." He took responsibility, which is a good thing for a man to do. Well, I know many of us have heard those words, "you never," and we've heard it in all kinds of different contexts in our marriage. So this morning, we're going to do a preemptive strike. How many of you guys in the military, you know preemptive strike, right? You strike before something happens. Well, we're going to try to help you with that this morning. And so we're going to give you some practical advice to avoid hearing those words, "you never." And so we're going to let Solomon talk to us about that particular issue. So we're going to let him teach us a couple issues, and then I'm going to give you a couple practical things that I've learned in my life in this 30-some years of marriage that Renee and I have enjoyed. So let's return to the Song of Solomon. Turn your Bibles to Song of Solomon chapter 7. We'll take a look at some things there. Just remember what has happened. They've dated, they've courted, they were super attracted to one another. They got married. The marriage is going great. According to Solomon, sex is great. They survived their first argument, and it was about sex, as a matter of fact. And according to scholars, now they're at a point in their life where they're more mature. They're deeper into their marriage, and they're experiencing different things. So some years have gone by. And so now Solomon shows us how to keep those fires burning, how to keep the romance and the intimacy alive. So Song of Solomon chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Listen as I read this. "How beautiful are your feet in sandals, O noble daughter. Your rounded thighs are like jewels, the work of a master hand. Your navel is a rounded bowl that never lacks mixed wine. Your belly is a heap of wheat encircled by lilies." Well, it sounds like maybe some things have changed, right? Solomon is describing his wife a little bit different than he did before. Maybe she's a little more mature. Maybe a few pounds have been added. But he's still looking at her. He's still enjoying her. He's still complimenting her. And so here's rule number one. Pay attention. Keep paying attention. Well, you know, every woman likes to be noticed. Your wife wants to know that you are looking at her, you're noticing her, you're enjoying her, you're attracted to her physically, mentally, spiritually, that she's your equal. in this relationship, she wants to know those things. And so she needs to be affirmed, and she needs to feel comfortable with you. Do you remember what finally broke the straw for Sue over the breakfast table in the story I told this morning? It was, "You never listened to me." See, this guy Bill wasn't paying attention to his wife at all. He wasn't listening to her. He wasn't even paying attention to her. And it broke her heart. Well, I was talking to my wife, Renee, who Jane mentioned this morning. And I was talking to her about this talk this morning. And I've done this a few times during this talk. I asked her to help me by sharing some of the things in our marriage that I did wrong, I could have done better, and some things in our marriage that I did well. And so this is what she said. Guess what she said? "I don't like it when I'm talking to you and you look at your computer, or you're looking at your phone, or you're looking at the paper, and you don't look up at me." And I thought, ooh, that was my opening, and I'm guilty of my own advice. Not taking my own advice. She said, I know that you say you hear me, but I know this also, that later on when I bring that same topic up, many times you say, I don't remember that. I don't remember you saying that." Are you guilty of that, guys? Ever happened to you in your marriage also? Yeah, it probably does. So my wife said, "Hey, that's the thing I don't like the most. Of anything that she could have said, that was it." So rule number one, pay attention to your wife. When she's speaking, look her in the eye, pay attention to her, and maybe even repeat back to her some of the things she said to you later on so that she knows you were listening to her. That, guys, will keep the fire burning in your relationship. Next piece of advice that we see from Solomon is this. We see it in chapter 7, verses 11 through 13. Listen to this. This is great. This is the wife speaking now. "Come, my beloved, let us go out into the fields and lodge in the villages. Let us go out early to the vineyards and see whether the vines have budded, whether the grape blossoms have opened and the pomegranates are in bloom. There will I give you my love. Mandrakes give forth fragrance, and beside our doors are all choice fruits, new as well as old, which I have laid up for you, O my beloved." Wow. Why, God conjures up some images, right? Some thoughts in your mind about what may be happening when they go out into the countryside, and maybe some surprises she has for him. What does she say? "Come, my beloved, let's get away. Let's get away. And when we do get away," she said, "the two things are going to happen. We're going to have a great adventure. We're going to go out together, just the two of us. We're going to do things, and they are going to be fun. We're going to have a great adventure. And number two," she says, "we're going to enjoy some surprises that I have in store for you. Some new things and some old things." And so I think if you guys are like me, you might just clear the schedule, right? And say, "Let's go. That sounds like a lot of fun to me. I love adventure. Do you guys love adventure? I love adventure with my wife. I would say, let's go." So now it's Solomon's wife giving us good advice. She's telling us what women want. And here's rule number two. Get away. Get away. She says, "I need to get away sometimes. I need to get away from the kids or stress or my job or work or whatever it is." She's saying, "I need to get away from the routine." And she realizes one thing also. She realizes that you, her husband, need to get away from time to time also for the very same reasons that she needs to get away. So let's get away. Whether it's a date or a vacation or just a weekend getaway, just do it, just the two of you. One of the things that Renee told me that I did well was that. We did get away a lot, and she really appreciated it in our marriage. It was something that she could look forward to, and it was something that she could count on. Every Friday night, almost every Friday night, I would take her out somewhere. And I usually didn't tell her what it was. I would call her sometime during the day, and I'd tell her how to dress for the adventure that we were going to have. And when I got home from the office, she'd be dressed that way. She'd have the babysitter were there early so that she could get ready to go. And we'd get in the car and we'd go. And lots of times, unless she told me where we were going earlier, where she wanted to go, she had no idea what we were going to do. And she absolutely loved it. She enjoyed it. And it kept the fire burning, guys. And so I'm hoping that you do those kind of things for your wife too, regardless of where you are in your life, what stage of marriage that you're in. It keeps the fire burning. So number one, Solomon says, pay attention. And then Solomon's wife, the Shulamite woman, says, let's get away and have some fun, just the two of us. And then number three, work hard. Work hard at your marriage. And I know this is really just very practical, but I have been involved in a lot of marriage counseling over the years. You know, as a minister or in leadership positions, I've talked to a lot of couples who've been in all kinds of situations, some of them really tragic. And there are people from every age of life, every walk of life. And here are the two top killers of marriage that I see. Number one, it is selfishness. Selfishness. People just become so selfish, so self-centered, that it kills the marriage. Number two is laziness. Just unwilling to put work into the marriage to keep it going. They just kind of get into a routine, and the guy thinks, hey, things are going great. We're not realizing that maybe they're not going so great for the wife, because he never asks, he never pays attention. Sometimes we just get lazy. And I think people get so consumed with themselves sometimes, you know, their job, their hobby, going out with the guys or golfing or whatever happens to be on the weekend, leaving the mom home with the kids, or, you know, even later in life doing those kind of things, their own interests. Maybe the wife is so totally consumed with the children and doesn't even pay attention to you. We see all these kind of things happening. So people get so consumed with their own life that they just check out. They check out of the marriage of this, hope it's on autopilot, hope it's going to be okay. But living in the land of hope is not what we're expected to do as leaders, is it, men? We are to lead in the marriage and make sure that our wife is fulfilled, make sure that the flame is still burning. Not checking out, not putting the effort into it, because when we don't, that absolutely kills the fire, kills the romance, and kills the marriage. I think we'd all agree with this, right? Marriage is easy when things are easy, right? When life is good, marriage is easy, right? There's no challenges, no difficulties. But when those challenges come along, at whatever stage of life they are, financial challenges, health challenges, challenges with our children, all kinds of COVID challenges, right? It gets much more difficult. And life gets busier, and it takes effort, it takes work to keep that flame burning and keep it alive. Jerry Seinfeld, you guys know Jerry Seinfeld, the comedian. I enjoy some of his stuff sometimes. Here's what Jerry Seinfeld said one time. He said, being a good husband is like being a stand-up comic. You need 10 years before you can call yourself a beginner. And that's true, isn't it? It takes a while to become a good husband, but you work at it. He worked at his craft and rose to the top. We need to work at being a husband and do a good job with it to become the kind of husband that we should be. And here's one final practical suggestion that I have for you. And this does not come from me. When Renee and I decided that we were going to get married, we went to an old couple. The older couple was friends of hers, somebody she knew for years, and she actually stayed with her in college. And we said, hey, we're going to get married. And I remember distinctly Mr. and Mrs. Bell saying this to us. The best thing you can do for your marriage, and it is the best advice I ever got, is to pray together every day. Pray together every single day. They said, regardless of what's going on in your life, whether things are easy, whether the sailing is smooth, whether it's difficult and you want to scream at each other, stop everything you're doing every morning. Sit down and pray together. And Renee and I did that. Through thick and thin, we did it. There was a little love seat in the sunroom next to off our kitchen when our kids were young and we were early married. And I would sit down there, and she'd sit next to me, and I'd take her hand in my hand, and we'd pray together. And let me tell you, it's hard to be angry at somebody when you're praying and you're holding their hand. It's hard to hold a grudge when you're praying. It's hard not to be forgiving when you're holding their hand. And you know that you're praying to God. He's looking down upon you. He sees into your heart. He knows what's going on. It's hard not to be forgiving, and it's easy. It's easy to do the right thing when you're praying together. I do think that was probably the best advice that I was ever given, and I encourage you to do that wherever you are in your stage of life, and certainly older men. Tell your sons. Pour that into your grandson. I mean, this series is not necessarily about you I mean, sometimes we think it's all about us. This is not maybe about you. Maybe this is about pouring into you so that you have information to pour into your son and your grandson and the generations to come. That's what we're doing at Leadership Ministries. We're training the trainer, right, men? And so pray with your wife. I think it's the best thing you could possibly do. Well, it is our responsibility as leaders, our responsibility to keep the fire burning, to keep the flame alive in our marriages. I think sometimes maybe we look a little too much like Bill. You know, the Bill whose wife yelled at him, "You never even talk to me anymore." Maybe we look a little too much like Bill. I think Bill could have done a lot better in his marriage if he'd heard this talk and taken it to heart, if he'd paid attention, if he'd made time for his wife, if they'd gotten away, if he worked a little harder at his marriage, and if he'd taken his wife's hand in his and prayed with her every day. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the truth that you supply to us in your word. Everything, single thing we talked about this morning is from the Bible. And it's there, Father, to help us to be the kind of leaders that you want us to be. This kind of leadership, the most important we can have, leading in our marriage, because the bedrock of our foundation depends on the strength of our marriages and then our families. So help us to be those kind of leaders, men, and keep that flame alive. In your son's name, amen. Amen. All right, gentlemen, have a good time at your table, your virtual table, wherever you are. Take care.